You may be saying, we saw that video on Friday, you remember it? Yeah, it's the same one. I wanted to show it again because I know I have to show it to you guys a couple times to say this Tuesday, tomorrow night, we're starting a four-part series on dating, sex, and what was the last one? Love, yes. And that's going to happen tomorrow night, 7:30 to 8:30 in the Moss Conference. You'll want to be there. Hey, we had the privilege, Kristen, come on in. We had the privilege to have periodically what I would say community members, pastors, come and share in chapel. That is the case today. Kristen Palacios is an ordained pastor and is now a current PhD candidate at the University of Notre Dame in Old Testament. Get some of that. Okay. Kristen is going to be preaching out of Romans chapter 6. Pray with us. Lord, we want to be like Samuel today. And we say, Lord, speak, for your servants are listening. Thank you for Kristen and the words you've given to her. Now, Lord, give her the joy to speak your good word to us today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you welcome Kristen Palacios?
The Lord be with you. Oh, good. I'm glad you know how to do that. I wasn't sure. Hear these words from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, as Christians, we often talk about Jesus dying for our sins, right? And the theological term for this is substitutionary atonement. Maybe some theology majors know that term. That is, Jesus died as a substitute for us. He died so that we don't have to. And this is true. It is undeniably true. But sometimes this view of atonement can lead us to think of what Jesus did for us as this something far, far removed from us. It's almost like a gift that we get from that crazy distant relative who lives somewhere out of state. We're not even really sure. And when we receive this gift, we do the good thing and, of course, write a thank you note. We say, Dear Uncle Jesus. That's super sacrilegious, I know. Dear Uncle Jesus, how are you? I am fine. Thank you for the very nice gift of salvation. I will use it often. Hope to see you soon, but not too soon. You know, sincerely, Joe Christian. Sometimes our view of salvation is a little bit like this. We think it's something so far removed from us. But this passage from Romans chapter 6 paints a different picture. Because this passage is about our death and our resurrection with Christ. Now, one of the things we need to know about the Apostle Paul is that he's always making up words. And one of the ways he likes to make up words is he just adds with to the sort of the beginning of every verb, with. He does it 5 times in this passage. Today, we will discuss just 2 of these. The first with comes in verse 4. When the Apostle Paul says that we have been buried with Christ through baptism. Now, it might seem strange to think about baptism and burial in connection with one another. Baptism sounds like it has water, and we might think it might make more sense to connect that with purification or with cleansing, but baptism in the Christian tradition is connected with burial. So that when we are baptized, we not only remember that our Lord was lowered into a tomb, but we are also lowered into that tomb with him. We are buried with Christ in baptism. The second "with" is in verse 5. We have been united with Christ, again, through baptism. Now, the words "united with" here have they have the sense of being, this is really gross, so just be prepared, has the idea of being sort of like the way when a wound is, when you have a wound, it's what happens when that wound is, when the flesh is united back together. Okay, I can see some of you are like making these ridiculous faces of like, I'm going to throw up. But it was Halloween last weekend. We had skeletons running around and fake blood and everything. So in the spirit of the season, we are stitched together with Christ the way the flesh of a wound is sutured together, the way it fuses back together. Think of it this way, on the cross, when Christ's side was pierced, it was pierced so that we could be sutured in, so that we could be knit in. Now, I don't know how you picture your relationship with Christ, but this gory imagery is really different from the idea of walking down the beach with Jesus, and sometimes there are two sets of footprints, and sometimes there are only one. We are stitched together. Get this imagery. We are stitched together into his very own flesh and blood so that we are united with him in his crucifixion and in his death and in his burial. Yet our union with Christ doesn't end on the cross or in the tomb. In verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." And in verse 8, "If we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him." Through baptism, we are knit together with Christ, not only in his death, but also in his resurrection. Baptism tells us that our faith isn't about Jesus' out-of-state, distant, saving work. In baptism, we are united with Christ, being sown into his very flesh and blood. That, by the way, is how substitutionary atonement works. Jesus dies on our behalf, and he is raised on our behalf, but because we are sown into his very flesh and blood, we receive the benefits of what he has done. To be a Christian is to recognize that Christ leads the way into hell and back out again. It's to recognize that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That we love, why? Because God loved first. In fact, in one of my favorite liturgies for baptism, these are the words that are spoken to the infant. I love this, so listen carefully. "For you, Jesus Christ came into the world. For you, he lived and showed God's love. For you, he suffered the darkness of Calvary and cried at the last, 'It is finished.' For you, he triumphed over death and rose in newness of life. For you, he ascended to reign at God's right hand. All this he did for you, though you did not know it yet." And so the words of Scripture have been fulfilled. We love because God loved us first. Though we did not know it yet, while we were still sinners, because God first loved us. St. Augustine, in talking about baptism, said, "The human condition is hopeless. We are hopeless." And that's why he said that the best picture of baptism that we can possibly have is when we see infants and those with the severest of mental disabilities baptized. Because he says that is the picture of our powerlessness and that is the picture of our hopelessness. So in God's eyes, we are all infants. We are all hopeless and powerless. I imagine you guys are feeling this way at this time in the semester, right? A little hopeless, a little frantic, maybe a little traumatized, not sure if you're going to make it. And you start to wonder if you're worth it. But in this passage, God says, stop. Stop trying to find your identity and keeping up. Because it is only with and in Christ that we can die to sin and be raised to walk in newness of life. And this practice of dying to sin and being raised to new life, that's what baptism is all about. Now, for most of us, or many of us, baptism only happens once, and many of us, that may have happened when we were just babies, and so we don't remember it. But one of the things that, amidst all of the questions of who are we and why and do I matter, one of the things that we have to do is to practice remembering our baptism. Practice baptism. Or to take Wendell Berry's famous line, we must practice our death and our resurrection. So in closing today, I want to invite you to stand and let's practice our baptism together. Stand with me. I'm going to read a brief introduction and then please join together in responding to the questions which follow. In baptism, God calls us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. To follow Christ means dying to sin and rising to new life with him. Therefore, I ask, do you reject the devil and all rebellion against God? I reject them. Do you renounce the deceit and corruption of evil? Do you repent of the sins that separate us from God and neighbor? And do you turn to Christ as Savior? Do you submit to Christ as Lord? Do you come to Christ, the way, the truth, and the life? Will you pray with me? Lord, we do renounce evil and turn toward you. And we are confident that where there is death in us, you will bring about new life. We thank you and praise you for who you are. We pray all these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now go in peace to love and serve the Lord.